Hey, Hawkeye fans, Chad Lystico of the Des Moines Register, along with my friend Kennington Smith, our fifth podcast of the week, I believe, if we're counting correctly, Kennington. Yeah, we knew this one would come with a bowl announcement was going to happen. And then we also got to talk to Kirk Ferentz this afternoon, this evening, with lots of enlightening comments. So we're going to try to go through things really quickly, kind of like a post-game podcast. But initially, Kennington, your reaction to seeing Iowa? You've been on the beat 2 years, and you've seen Iowa versus Kentucky both years in the bowl game. Exactly. How about that?
Right. It was kind of like funny that Kirk mentioned in the presser that they started the year with Kentucky, and now they're going to end the year with Kentucky playing on New Year's Day last year, New Year's Eve this year. Just cannot escape the SEC influence, obviously. So looking forward to getting a chance to see Kentucky again. Obviously, a team that I follow closely because they're in the SEC East with Georgia. And I think it's going to be obviously a very challenging matchup for Iowa. And to start with my initial impression, I mean, Spencer Petras being out and having surgery from that injury in Nebraska has to be the biggest storyline of the presser, because we understand that Cade McNamara will be a Hawkeye, but he won't be one for New Year's Eve. And Alex Bedia is in the portal, and he's not going to play. So now it's either going to be Joe Labus or Carson May starting for the Hawkeyes against Kentucky. And they're going to have an open quarterback competition for the next month. And I know that that is a buzz phrase for Iowa fans, but this will be a true open competition. I mean, neither of these guys have any built-up equity in the program on the same level of what we saw with Petras and Padilla. Neither of them have played in a game. They probably have similar understandings of the offenses, so it's really just going to be a matter of who impresses the most in practice and trying to build a game plan around either of those guys.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, in our kind of teases to the week, knowing that Petras on good information was going to have surgery. We were kind of teasing the Labus stuff. But I guess it's maybe it was a little naive saying it's going to be Labus, because Kirk Ferentz definitely did not say that. He said it's going to be Joey Labus or Carson May. And I think that's probably his way of saying that Joe Labus really hasn't earned the starting job yet, right? He hasn't won the, he hasn't done anything to win the starting job. As contrast, like if it was Alex Padilla or Joey Labus, it would be like, well, Alex is our starter because he's got the program equity, right? I mean, I think
that's a really good point. And I was pre-writing the story to get it out quickly. And my headline, like, Iowa to start Joe Labus. And in the body, it's like, Iowa will start Joe Labus. And then, like you said, Kirk just comes out and says, it's going to be either or, and they're going to battle it out. And to your point about not necessarily earning that position, I mean, I referenced this in the story that will be coming out in the next few minutes, but when we asked Brian during the bye week, has Joe done anything to close the gap on the top two guys? And Brian said no. So that right there lets you know that from spring to then, he hadn't done anything to impress the coaches enough to make it a second thought of maybe who should be the second string quarterback. And we don't know what Carson has been doing in practice. No one has really asked, because he just seems so far down the depth chart. And coming in, true freshman, learning the system, you just never thought he was going to be a factor this year. But that's kind of the craziness of in the volatility of college football. Now you have Carson in this situation where he really could be the starter on New Year's Eve. So I'm just really fascinated by this dynamic. And I understand that Iowa fans are not optimistic about playing another team or the same team 2 years in a row. And the fact that this is probably a game that doesn't mean much in the grand scheme of Iowa's program trajectory, but I feel like this component adds a level of interest where fans are going to be tuned in because they just want to see what's going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And first of all, what matchup did you want? I mean, I guess maybe, you know, Lane Kiffin or something. I mean,
yeah. I guess that's
the season. Do you really want to go against them with Labus? May? I don't think you want to go against Ole Miss. But I guess I think it's a good thing, the rematch, because it's not about the opponent. It's about the closer travel. And now this is an opponent you're familiar with. Like, right now is a huge time for Iowa to be recruiting, spending time in the portal, coaching staff. They don't need to waste time on learning a brand new opponent. They know the nuts and bolts of the Mark Stoops Kentucky program, right? I mean,
yeah,
you know, they just studied it last year or earlier this year. So I think that's a positive, that you don't have to waste a ton of time preparing. And obviously they don't have to prepare as much for Iowa either, but, you know, insert your joke about how difficult it is to prepare for Iowa's offense. So I don't know. I'm enthused about the matchup, but I thought it was a good game last year, an entertaining game. Now, will we see Will Levis play? You do not think we will, correct, for
no.
Kentucky?
No.
So it'll be backup quarterbacks across the board with Deuce Hogan, one injury away from starting against the Hawkeyes, which would be the most amazing story. The most amazing way to end the year, wouldn't it?
Right, yeah. I think
Deuce Hogan beats the Hawks. Oh,
right.
My gosh.
That's I feel like that's what you know, fans are hoping for. Obviously not hoping for any injuries on the Kentucky side, but just some type of scenario to where maybe Deuce is like Deuce versus Joe or Deuce versus Carson or just Deuce versus Iowa in general. You know, he transferred, it's like, okay, he's gonna go to Kentucky, he's never gonna play, and then a year later, their starting quarterback's gonna opt out. Iowa has two quarterbacks out, and this is gonna be a lot of intrigue in the game. So I don't know. I guess I'm losing my train of thought, but I guess for Kirk and what he said about Joe and Carson, what he said is what I had hoped that he was going to say about the game plan, which is we're going to see what these guys can do and we're going to build a game plan around that. It's hard to remember what show it was because we've done a lot this week, like you said, but I referenced that I would like to see Iowa play to the quarterback strengths and not throw the whole playbook at them and give them a finite amount of plays and execute those to the optimal ability and make it a competitive game against Kentucky. And he said that that's pretty much what they're going to do. And he said that they're going out there to try to win the game. So Kentucky might be a limited playbook as well, because Will Levis has the full brunt of the playbook, and Iowa's will obviously be limited too. So I'm not going to say it's even necessarily, but you know, maybe you probably feel better about Iowa's chances versus maybe like an Ole Miss, for example, who, you know, they're going to have their starting quarterback in the game, or another SEC opponent, like a South Carolina or something who's red hot right now, or anybody else that they could have played.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's why I say I like the matchup. I mean, Kentucky does have a pretty good defense, at least on paper, like, you know, top 20 defense in the country. So obviously that's a challenge for a young quarterback, but their rush defense isn't that great. It's like mid-pack in FBS. Their pass defense is good, but they don't get a lot of sacks. So I don't know. I think it could be it'll be a game probably where Iowa focuses on the run game, focuses on punting, not making mistakes, focuses on defense, because all the, you know, we think all the key players on defense will play. Here's a quote. I asked Kirk about this, about the May Labus situation. Here's a quote he said about the game itself. He said, "It's not ideal, but I think back to 2010 and a guy named Coker ran for 225 or whatever it was against Missouri." That was, you know, Iowa true freshman Marcus Coker kind of started the bowl game and went wild, 200 plus yards. "We as coaches have got to figure out what we can do to give our team the best chance to win. Knowing the players involved, we'll know a lot more after a couple weeks here. It's a highly interesting situation, but we've got a lot of strengths on our team too, so we'll try to play to those." So that gives you a little sense of the quarterback situation. They're not going to be, you know, it's not going to be Joe Labus slinging it 50 times. It'll be like probably like 10 times.
I was going to say 15. In 15, my mind, yeah, man. 15 if it's a shootout.
Yeah. This could be a quick game.
Right.
A lot of running plays.
Yeah. And I mean, Kentucky's going to run the ball too. Chris Rodriguez is one of the better running backs in the SEC. And that's kind of Kentucky's calling card, is physical at the line of scrimmage and running the ball. So, you know, we might get out there in like, you know, 2 hours maybe, you know, get our post game done and enjoy New Year's in Nashville. I see in the comments people are asking about Sam Laporta and Cooper DeJean. Those are obviously other notable injuries. Had Iowa played in the Big Ten Championship yesterday, they would not have played, is what Kirk Ferentz said. But both of them will be back for the bowl game. That is the plan. Said Cooper should be back. He said the end of this week, so I guess like a week from now, he'll be back. And he said Laporta is very close as well. And segueing to another topic that we touched on a lot more than I thought we would in the presser was the transfer portal. And I see questions about, Keegan Johnson, Deontay Vines, receivers, guys who left or might be leaving, kind of where they stand. And just to start off with that, Kirk said that it is ongoing conversations. And he said that there are some guys who are not 100% right now in terms of their decision. So there are some guys who are in the portal who are 100% on their stance that they're leaving. And there are a few who have entered and are not 100%, or maybe there are some who are not 100% on whether they're going to stay or go. So those are going to be ongoing conversations. And with everything opening up on Monday, it's obviously going to be something to monitor, but that's kind of the status on that.
Yeah. I think there's just a lot of speculation out there that Keegan Johnson is that the name that they're is waffling. And, I don't think that that's a misguided speculation, but let's also let it play out and not be fair to him. But that said, let's just say quickly, Kennington, if he does want to come back, take him back.
Gotta bring him back.
You gotta bring him back if he wants to come back. We don't know that he does want, we don't know where his heart is. I know it's been a tough year for him, and I don't want to get too into the weeds on this one, but I just kind of wanted to put out there that Iowa should do everything it can to make sure it can make Keegan Johnson's situation work if it has an opportunity to do so.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, he's somebody that Iowa desperately missed this year. We're talking about explosive plays, vertical passing game. He was that guy last year for Iowa's offense. You expected him to be that this year. That aspect of their offense was noticeably missing. And I know the offense wasn't great overall, but that specific area was one where they very rarely tried to take the top off of defenses because they just didn't have that deep threat, and he was that guy. So you do bring him back. And then obviously, you think about some of the guys that they're targeting into the portal, and you consider kind of like their size and their weight and kind of Keegan's size, weight, and what his ability is. He would really be a fit should Iowa hit on some of these wide receiver targets and what they're trying to bring in. You bring him into the mix, you feel really good about the complement of receivers there. I mean, as far as guys like Vines, which I'll probably sell to him what they're selling to guys in the portal is that there's a real opportunity to have a big role on the offense next year. I mean, the receiver room is depleted right now in scholarship numbers. There's going to be opportunity for whoever's on the team next year to step into a starter role. I mean, that's going to be one of the most open and interesting competitions on the team next year is that wide receiver room. So I'm not sure what the nature of those conversations, but, if I could give my view from 30,000 feet, it would be, selling these guys on the opportunity to come back, start, and maybe if the offense changes, have a different role and be used in a different way than they have been, throughout their careers.
So let's transition right now, Kennington, into – I didn't anticipate getting into this topic already, but I think what you just brought up is a good segue, and I'm sure we'll circle back into other topics as we're going to try to cap this at 30 minutes just because we both have a lot to do. There was the topics of what Iowa was going to do as far as staff changes, overhauls, whatnot, and I guess just in general, it sounded like – this was going to be more of a 2014 style evaluation than a lay off everyone type of evaluation, or not saying everyone's going to be back on staff, not saying that at all, but it sounded like it was going to be a, let me find the quote here. While I search for that, Kennington, what did you take away from, basically Ferentz's quote is, that the program's not broken. I don't think there's anything really broken right now, but I think there are things we can do better like every year. And he said, I really see this year being like we did what we did in 14. This one will probably be a little more thorough, a little more detailed. So they changed morning practices that year. Obviously, the results were really good. So on the field, but I felt like he was laying some breadcrumbs there, Kennington, to not make wholesale changes. But maybe one of those changes is bringing in guys in the portal. Maybe like the biggest change is like, hey, we're going to be a portal school now. Maybe.
Yeah.
I think maybe that's it. That could be what the big thing is.
Yeah, possibly. And I was the things are not broken. Data raised eyebrows, obviously. Just looking at Iowa's offense, the numbers are the numbers. I mean, we've gone over it too many times to count. So we think about it from that aspect. And then I believe the question following up on that quote was, okay, what are some of the metrics that you're going to use to quantify the offense? And he said, I mean, it was a really long quote, and it's like, I know we're having this like instant reaction, but it's kind of hard to like sift through the quotes as you just did. But I think that the fact that he said is going to be a little bit more thorough and detailed, it does lend me to believe that there are going to be tougher conversations, maybe a harder look at the offense than last year. And I don't want to put words in his mouth, but when you hear that this offseason is going to be more detailed and more thorough than past ones, naturally, you think that there wasn't that deep dive into the offense and the changes that they could have made at the end of last year that we thought that they were going to make. Maybe this year will truly be the year that happens. I think that it will be a tough sell for the fans if there aren't any changes made onto the coaching staff, because your next question as a fan would be, okay, if we're bringing back the same staff, what exactly is going to change schematically? Like, okay, we're going to get better. We might get better guys. We're going to get new guys, but if the scheme is the same, like, is anything going to push forward? Is anything going to improve? And I think that's a very fair question and a valid question, and one that we're not going to be able to ask right now, obviously, because they have to play through the bowl game. But that is probably going to be what's at the forefront of my mind, the next opportunity post bowl game where we have to sit down and talk to Kirk is, what were those thorough evaluations? What were the details that you went through? What was your decision making? Keeping this coach, not keeping this coach, or keeping whatever they end up doing. I just want to know what was the thought process behind it.
Yeah, boy, my mind's racing there. I think people are wound up a little bit about seeing Kirk and Brian Ferentz out with Marco Linez. And I'm like, I almost don't want to dignify it with too much commentary here, but like Brian Ferentz will, for as long as he's on staff, will work for toward the better end of Hawkeye football. What do you expect him to do? Like not go visit the quarterback? I mean, that's just
– Yeah, I didn't
read it. I thought the comments on that were really silly.
Yeah, that doesn't, it doesn't confirm anything.
It doesn't say anything, yeah.
That's also – I mean, somebody who is really key in his recruitment, and you never know what the nature of that conversation could have been. Maybe Brian went to – let him know that regardless of what happens, you know, you should stay with Iowa. Maybe he was just doing it, not even thinking about his own position or whatever the case may be. He might've just gone on behalf of, okay, I recruited this kid for a long time. I'm going to go see it the rest of the way through that he ends up at Iowa, whether I'm here or not. So that's not definitive or declarative either way, in my opinion.
Yeah, it could just be like the, you know, Chicago Bears. You know, they fired the GM and after he left him, Justin Fields. You know, this is Brian Ferentz's last president, right? Marco Linus. He's going to deliver him and then off to the NFL. No, we don't have that information. A question here: do we expect any opt-outs? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I mean, the fact that Laporta is going to play. I mean, I wasn't expecting to opt out anyway, but like, can you think of like a candidate to even opt out?
Yeah, I'll say I don't think they have. There's not even any. Jack Campbell's the only opt out candidate.
He's not. Yeah,
and he's definitely not opting out. When I think about opting out, usually, and I know that Tyler Goodson opted out last year and went undrafted. But usually, like, those are, like, for, like, the Will Levis's, for example, you look up a mock draft, he's in the top 10, top 15, like, very secure, high-level guys. I don't think that that'll be the case with Iowa's team this year.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there will be. I'd be surprised if there was. Positive comments on your beard, I see. What do you think of that?
Chris said, I've been working hard on this, man. Like, it's good to see that the hard work.
I apologize, I didn't say anything. Go ahead.
Good to see the hard work is paying off. It's just like Iowa football, daily deposits, going to work on it every day, breaking the rock, doing something new, different every day, you know, small incremental improvements, and you two can connect your beard. So we're going to keep working, you know, we're never going to be complacent. We're going to keep on keeping on, but I appreciate that. The comments, whoever made that, that's love.
Very nice. Kirk was asked about Cade McNamara. He cannot talk about him as a prospect, but Mike Halas did a great job asking about what he thought of him last year in the Big Ten championship game. So what did he say? He's like, he's a great leader, great player, that type of, it was very short. He impressed the hell out of me. He said their whole team did. He was the leader on that team, the captain on that team. Very, very impressive. There you have it. So that's what Kirk Ferentz thinks of Cade McNamara.
Yeah.
So, is Labus versus, to come full circle here, Kennington, Labus versus May here almost. It's almost the race to be the backup quarterback, right?
Yeah, that's how it feels to me. And, you know, I know there's been people, you know, speculating or saying that, you know, maybe Labus leaves after this game, maybe plays one game and leaves because, you know, Cade's eligibility is more than just for 1 year, likely going to stay for multiple years. But I do see this as a scenario where you get a chance to really evaluate your two young guys and really see what you have behind him. Obviously, we don't know what's going to happen with Spencer, and he has a very tough decision ahead of him with Cade coming in. So you need some type of answers at the quarterback position, especially considering that Cade will likely miss spring practice recovering from, you know, a surgery. So who is going to be kind of the guy helping the offense and pushing them forward in the spring? And, you know, should Cade or, you know, whoever face an injury next season, you got to have somebody reliable in there who can come in there and play. So really, really, really interested to see what happens between these two. And I think it would be really surprising if Carson ends up being the starter for the Music City Bowl. But if he does end up being the starter, then you have to wonder what that says about him. He has to be a pretty impressive guy to come in the summer and do enough from then to December to start, you know, a game against a Power 5 team at the end of the year. You have to feel really good about him as a prospect.
No, I mean, it's kind of exciting. I mean, it's a way to see. Yeah, you get a jump start on that spring competition. And ideally, I think if you're Iowa, you keep both guys around and they battle again in the spring, you know, because it probably won't. Mm-hmm. We don't know what McNamara's situation is going to be in the spring. We do know that, you know, if Spencer Petras were to return, that he wouldn't be able to compete in spring either, according to Kirk Ferentz, because of the surgery. He said he wouldn't even be able to throw a football for several months. So, you know, that's kind of a disappointing, obviously, result for Spencer on the medical front there. So, it's just think if Iowa hadn't gotten Cade McNamara last week, right?
Right.
I mean, there'd be a lot of questions about the quarterback room, but I think people feel pretty good about it overall.
Yeah. I said this on a previous pod this week. This is a complete house money game. If Iowa goes out there and it's a disaster offensively, I don't think the fans are going to care too much. I don't think anybody's really expecting much out of the offense against Kentucky, truthfully. Like, so if Labus or May go out there and lights it up, then that's great. We got Cade McNamara, potentially a quarterback for the future after him. If Iowa goes out there and gets blown out and they're not competitive, then again, the team that you're going to see in the bowl game is probably not going to be a team that resembles what it's going to be in the fall of 2023. So if it is a disaster, you can just scrap it and look ahead to 2023 and still be excited about all the new additions that, you know, would have been announced up until December 31st.
Yeah. And just to kind of circle back on the Keegan Johnson thing, I mean, First of all, the portal doesn't open until tomorrow. So, like, he doesn't have to put his name actually in there, even though he announced he was. Like, if he tells the coaches, like, hey, I want to prepare for this bowl. I mean, Ferentz responded to that question with kind of that type of quote, either you're in or out type of thing. Like, if you want to prepare for the bowl game, let's do it. If not, you know, stay home. But Keegan can play in the bowl game and not, excuse me, you know, he's not going to lose the red shirt. He'll still be a red shirt sophomore next year, wherever he goes, wherever he ends up. So this is a free game for him, a free game for Jazzy and Patterson. There's a lot of, you know, free game for obviously Carson May. This doesn't hurt it, you know, doesn't take his eligibility. So I view this whole bowl thing as it's kind of what some of us had been talking about in recent years. Like, will the bowl game just become an exhibitions, like playing for next season? Like, Kirk Ferentz would never, ever do that. But now this actual circumstance has forced him to play for next season at quarterback in the most unfathomable way, where he, you know, both starting quarterbacks go off the wayside in a matter of days.
Yeah. I think you asked the question that led to the quote where he said, if you stay around long enough in college football, you're going to find yourself in every situation. And that, I think that this game, and then, like, when you think about, like, the transfer portal and all the changes that he's making there and the NIL, it's like, never thought that Kirk would get to this point, but you stay around long enough, college football, and this is the nature of the changing sport, will kind of push you and force you into these situations sooner or later. So it's all kind of coming full circle here. Like, NIL is booming and the transfer portal is active. And now Iowa's kind of in this house money exhibition game where a lot of young guys will probably get opportunities. So the game itself might not be a pretty result, and we're going to continue to break that down as the month goes on. But, you know, win or lose, you have to have some level of excitement about the kind of like the trajectory of the program, because, you know, Kirk is kind of making these changes.
Yeah, I think Portal Kirk, man. Portal Kirk, he's at it. We'll see what happens these first few days this week with the portal. Maybe people will get really excited about Hawkeye football portaling. So, Kennington, I have successfully made my way out here to New York City. So, appreciate you kind of manning the football ship the next couple days. But while I cover Iowa Duke basketball, looking forward to, if you had the Sunday Register, you saw the Chris Street piece in today's Register. It'll be online in the morning, and I'm really excited for you guys to see that if you haven't already. It's a good piece. It's a good story. I'm not saying it's a good piece.
Yeah, you could. Hey,
you judge for yourself.
Nah, pop it. It's a great story. It's a great story. I encourage everybody to go out and get that. I learned a lot. Obviously, I haven't been out here very long, so I learned a lot as we were talking about, you know, what the story premise was and kind of sharing anecdotes about how you were preparing for it. So I'm really excited for it to be out. Really excited to see the reaction. And again, really exciting week in Iowa basketball. And I know that we've done this entire football show, and it might feel a little weird to end this on a basketball note, but
go for it. Spencer Lee wrestled today too. Right. So yeah, it's a big week. Go ahead. You finish it, man.
Yeah. So Iowa wrestling, big win today. Go check out that coverage. Cody Goodwin obviously did what he does with that at HawkCentral.com. Huge week for Iowa men's basketball, playing Duke, playing Iowa State, Iowa women's basketball, playing Iowa State as well. I mean, there's just so many major events happening in Iowa athletics. So I know football is taking center stage, but a lot to pay attention to across all of the athletics, and, you know, stay locked into Hawk Central because we have a little bit of everything going on at the site right now.
Definitely, man. Appreciate you. And I will see you Thursday at Cy-Hawk, men. But we'll be in touch. Right, something's going to happen the next few days, I'm pretty sure.
So. Next few days, maybe even today.
I'm off. This is the last podcast tonight, folks. Okay, sorry. This is the only emergency pod you get today. All right, for Kennington Smith, this is Chad Lastico. We march on, and talk to you soon. Take care.